And that's me, Bill Buckmaster. Hello, everybody. Bill, along with John, engineering and producing our program, a big hearty welcome to the Buckmaster Show. Off and running on Tuesday, October the 18th, 2022. We broadcast from 10:30, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, and of course our studio named for the green things, Zocalo Village, which we love green things. Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We will be utilizing the live line right off the bat today as we resume our every other month interview series presented by Pima Community College, a series that introduces our listeners to the dedicated educators and supporters of Pima Community College. Joining us on the live line is Michael Amick. Mr. Amick, a Vice President of Distance Learning at Pima Community College. Michael, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Bill. Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure. I'll tell you, your business has changed so much. I mean, let's talk a little bit about what online learning looked like in pre-pandemic days, say the early days of 2020, and what it looks like now. Give us kind of an overview of online at Pima Community College.
Sure. Yes. Thank you so much. You know, when Chancellor Lee Lambert came to the institution around 2013, he worked with the faculty to create an overarching plan to, you know, support online learning across the college. And that's what brought me to the position that I'm in 2015. And we began working on just many initiatives for supporting faculty, increasing the quality of our courses, expanding the use of educational technology, and a lot of focus on supporting students to be successful online. And we saw over those years, from about 2015 to 2020, the enrollment in online courses was going from about 20% of what was happening at the institution and then expanding from there. As we all know, and many of us experienced this in many ways, when the pandemic hit, it had an especially massive impact on learning. And in a matter of 2 weeks, we worked to shift the entire college to online.
Yeah.
And how a lot of people reflect on that now is that, you know, we have online learning, and a lot of that was emergency remote learning. And folks still like to parse out that difference of when there is so much intention and support. And the big change for us was we were so glad for all of the work that we had done. It helped us so much. And then the things that we hadn't gotten to yet just really stood out and were challenges for us. But there were so many things that we had accomplished that really helped our students make it through that time.
So the preparation that went on all the way back to 2015 when you joined the team was really, it really paid off then, didn't it, Michael, when the pandemic hit and the whole institution had to go online?
Yes, just one small example of that was we have an online system where each course is placed. And in about 2017, we made the decision to automatically create an online space for every course offering at the college. And that action right there saved us. As the pandemic hit, we did not have to go in and try and create an online space for all these sudden new courses online. They already had an area where students could access, faculty could access and post information. That's just one example of how helpful some of those initiatives were.
And you've been internationally recognized, the Pima Online, winning all sorts of honors. for instructional technology. The Instructional Technology Council, just one of the groups that has honored you. Online degree pathway, Michael, tell us a little bit about that. An 8-week class, and it's all OER, and that is an acronym for, explain that to our listeners.
Absolutely. Yeah. The only time I was on your show, Bill, I think it was about 5 years ago in 2017, we had just started working on this OER initiative. It's Open Education Resources. Mm. The important thing that it means is that the textbook is no cost to the student.
Okay.
And so we were working on that initiative in 2017, and at the time I think I was reporting to you, we were very excited that we had saved students over $100,000 that they did not have to pay in textbook costs. What's exciting is we have infused this in so many courses that the college overall now is saving students well over $500,000 every semester that they do not have to pay for their college textbooks. They're supplied in this open ed format. And what's exciting about this 8-week course offering pathway, that another thing we've learned about students and their needs is they want to go faster, and they have higher expectations for the quality of their online learning experience. And so instead of offering all of our courses in that 16-week format, students can now complete, like their AA general education degree, all in 8-week courses. And it is easily possible to take all of those courses without having to pay for a textbook.
Wow. And, I'm just thinking, Michael Amick, that this is a very seamless transition now, isn't it, from the classroom to online? Online used to be kind of a something foreign and maybe something feared. It's now just pretty much the students accept it as part of the classroom experience, correct?
A lot of folks have been talking about just one of the silver linings of going through that whole experience of having to transition the whole college, that not only are many students seeing the value of how online education can help them work towards their goals and balance everything else they've got going on in their life, but many faculty as well came to really not only understand, but now embrace online tools and educational technology and a range of modalities that parse, just instead of face-to-face and online, we have some variables in between there, like hybrid courses with reduced seat time, synchronous online offerings that we call virtual that do have a required meeting time, but it's online and done over video conference. And so, yes, it has seemed to resolve that longstanding question about the viability of online learning, that, yes, it is here, and it does help serve students well.
We're speaking with Michael Amick. Michael is the Vice President of Distance Learning. So you joined the institution then in 2015. Is that correct, Michael?
Yes, that's correct.
What was your background?
My family and I moved here from Minnesota. I was working at a community college in rural Minnesota as the dean of online learning. Prior to that, we had lived in Fargo, North Dakota, where I worked at a distance education high school. I became involved in online learning in 1997.
Ooh,
and
that's
so
really,
it's that's, been incredibly interesting to see the whole expansion and arc of how online has grown become just better and better for students. That is still our goal, that statistically the success rate of online students in many cases is a little bit lower than our face-to-face offerings. Mm. And so that's where a lot of our attention is how do we close that gap to ensure that all of those students have, you know, the same successful experience
for
their goals.
That's a very important point about the face to face is still a little more successful, but you're trying to change that. And I was going to say 1997 for online learning was back in the dark ages, Michael. My goodness. You've seen a lot of changes, kind of like I've seen in the broadcast world from videotape and on and on and on, and all the changes. But it's great to talk with you again, Michael Amick, Vice President of Distance Learning, Pima Community College. Michael, where can people find out more?
I simply going to www.pima.edu. You'll see right there a page that you can step to that goes over all of the online courses we have available, as well as all of the programs that can be completed completely online.
Great. Good catching up with you. Last time we spoke back in 2017, how time flies. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you so much. Have a nice day.
Thank you. You too. The Buckmaster Show. And by the way, again, for more information about Pima Community College, please visit pima.edu. The Buckmaster Show, very proud of Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. They are located at Northeast Corner, Swan and Sunrise, open right now for a great lunch. And of course, they do the wonderful breakfast, open at 6:30 Tuesday through Saturday. It's when the doors open for breakfast. Folks are waiting. I don't blame them. Sometimes I've actually been waiting on Sunday morning at 7 for them to open because they do a fantastic breakfast. Their website, newly designed, updated, great pictures of all of the menu items at monasdanishbakery.com. And believe it or not, we'll be talking soon about Thanksgiving and putting in your orders for pies and rolls. That is coming as we talk about Mona's Danish Bakery. But coming up next after the break, we'll be talking about the markets. Shelly Fishman with me in studio, and he can give me one thumb up. He could have given me two if this had aired about 3 hours earlier. But anyway, we'll be right back with Shelly. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com. Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The way we vote in Pima County is changing. Are you ready? The League of Women Voters of Greater Tucson invites you to visit ReadySetVoteTucson.com to learn about new vote centers for easier in-person voting, new voting districts, and changes to the early voting list. Get ready to vote at ReadySetVoteTucson.com. Brought to you by the League of Women Voters of Greater Tucson. That's ReadySetVoteTucson.com. Get ready to vote.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
And here he is, my friend Shelley Fishman. First of all, Shelley, you had a great show a week ago Tuesday while we were up admiring Lake Louise. And you had the former mayor, and it went very well. You really plowed into all of what many people feel are kind of some complicated propositions on the ballot.
Yeah, it was a challenging show because the propositions, there are so many of them, and it's often difficult to understand them.
A lot of nuance with them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But having somebody like Jonathan Rothschild being able to help us with that,
yeah,
I thought was you know, kind of a thrill for me because we had the time in taking the full hour.
Yeah, the full hour, and it was an excellent public service. Well, we had a good day on the market yesterday. It looked like we would kind of have a repeat today, but right now the markets are kind of running out of steam.
Well, we don't know.
We're up 550 down. I mean, we're up now about 200.
About 200
anyway,
points. I'll buy that if we can have that every day for a while.
I'd take 200.
There doesn't seem to be a great deal of reason why these markets are acting with this kind of volatility. What we're seeing, of course, last week was some horrible days. And then yesterday, a very good day, and today, a pretty good day. What seems to be kicking this off a little bit today is some better than expected earnings. They weren't wonderful earnings, but some better than expected earnings, and some anticipation that GDP growth in the third quarter will have been at or better than what the economists have been predicting. However, just this afternoon, the Times has published an article in which they're saying that it looks like the Fed is buckling down on their policy of increasing interest rates, and they're saying that the first week of November we can expect another 0.75 point.
I kind of thought that might be coming.
That to me, what's frustrating me so much about what the Fed is doing is that they're doing it independently of other countries. The economy of the world, and I call it the world economy rather than economies, because it is so interdependent.
Of course.
And so interrelated right now. This is unique in our history. We've never had the world economies this closely both integrated but interdependent. And that's the thing that's so important. Look, by raising interest rates, as the Fed has done, to try to control inflation, that's the only weapon they really have. It's a blunt instrument. And we have now gotten to a point where we have taken down a British Chancellor of the Exchequer. We're about to take down the British government.
Mm.
That's just, Britain. When Margaret Thatcher and Ronald Reagan were working together during the inflation of the late 70s and early 80s, we didn't have the kind of integrated world we have today. And as a result, those two economies alone working together were able to stifle inflation without kicking the world into a very bad recession.
And
we did have a recession.
Yeah, we did.
And it lasted for a long time. But at least we didn't have, as a result, the kind of breadlines and unemployment problem that recessions can all cause. But we have this time in the 21st century, it's a very different situation, because right now the euro, the British pound, and other currencies are completely dependent upon what we do here in the United States, because so much worldwide debt is denominated in U.S. dollars. When the interest rates on U.S. dollars go up and the value of the dollar goes up vis-a-vis other currencies, and some of that debt on bloated corporate income statements and balance sheets comes due, it becomes very, very difficult at higher rates for companies to pay that debt back to the United States. So they then lobby the central banks of their countries to raise interest rates to at least get the parity or virtual parity between their currencies and our currency back to where they were. So what's happening is you get this snowballing effect of we act, they act, we react, they react. And we've never had a situation like this before. And so what the Fed could be doing right now is throwing the world into a recession, the likes of which we have never seen.
I agree. Why not just say half point, three quarters? Come on, let's see what a half point would
do. Let's wait for the GDP numbers to come out. Let's consult with the countries around the world that we do business with and try to have a worldwide response to this inflation, because this inflation is not natural inflation. The supply and demand factors in the economies have been driven way haywire by the pandemic and now this damned war in Ukraine. And we have countries in the non-industrialized world that are quite afraid of starvation and the dislocations of people that can cause. And the industrialized countries are afraid of what can be caused by unemployment and unbridled inflation that becomes the reason that central banks kind of operate. And so what we need to do is we need to work together with our allies. We need to work together with those who aren't our allies necessarily to bring this under control in a coordinated way. And we ain't doing that right now.
And everything, as you say, these world economies fully interconnected and interdependent. And is it any wonder that everybody, I know I feel this way, John probably does too, there's this unease.
Yes.
Not only here at the radio station, but all over the world. People are feeling uneasy right now.
And what it's causing, and you're absolutely right, Bill, what it's causing is countries to seriously consider more and more authoritarian governments to get this under control, because authoritarian,
there you go,
will promise things they can't deliver, but in the promising, it makes people feel better.
Yeah.
So we have Italy, we have Hungary, we've got Poland, now we've got the United States. We're seeing strikes in France right now. We're seeing potential toppling of the conservative government in the UK, being promised things that can't be delivered.
Mm-hmm.
But in the promising, it makes people feel better. And the kinds of solutions that are then being proffered by these authoritarian guys are solutions that didn't work in the 1980s and 1990s, but these people were trained. the economists that support these people were trained in the 20th century. We have completely different problems today in the 21st century, and they are ill-equipped to handle these problems.
And come on, Russia, my goodness. Throwing these reservists and recruits into the front line after less than a day of training? I mean, what is this, the 19th century trench warfare? I mean, over the top? Oh, my goodness.
To try to bring it back to the economy for a second, Bill, because
I'm sorry,
get into the politics
of what
the Russians are doing.
I know.
But what's happening with gas and gas prices, what's happening with alliances, what's happening with the flow of food goods across country lines is got the world scared stiff. The non-industrialized world is worried about dislocations and famine.
Mm-hmm.
The industrialized world is worried about freezing during this coming winter. When people are that worried, they look for easy answers. There are no easy answers. But people who offer easy answers can very often take over. We know historically that it doesn't work. But, you know, the promise is there, and it's holding out hope for solutions that have never worked and won't work in the future. I'm very worried right now.
All right, Shelley Fishman, thank you very much. Shell, have a great week.
You too.
All right, be right back. We'll have our Reed Park Zoo update. Talk about something very pleasant over at the zoo next.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars. Tour the tundra wilderness and see the northern lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, and they have extended their parking lot sale for another week. So go check it out over at Green Things. The following segment presented by Reed Park Zoo, founded in 1965 by then City of Tucson Parks Director Gene Reed. As an exhibit of exotic birds, the zoo has turned into one of America's fine zoos, with over 300 animals from all over the world, welcoming some 500,000 visitors annually, and one of the fun times of the year. I mean, it's always fun at the zoo, but it's especially fun around Halloween. And to tell us all about what's going on at the zoo, Deborah Carr, Director of Marketing and Events at the Reed Park Zoo. Hey, Deborah, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for asking. October is a very fun time because it is your boo at the zoo coming right up.
That's right. We are Halloween Central at the zoo right now. If you come out on grounds, you'll see lots of activity and lots of special scenes getting ready. But we've been doing this for about 30 years in some former fashion with the Halloween event, and it is an event designed for families. It's a chance to wear your costume to the zoo after dark, and we have all kinds of special scenes set up around the zoo, from aliens to storybook takeoffs to pirates and princesses displays and much more. And there's a chance to meet and greet your favorite characters around the zoo, from superheroes to galactic adventurers, and a fall festival zone with pumpkin patch and games and entertainment. And of course, it's a great place where kids can pick up some treats at sponsor tables and designated areas around the zoo. This year, we have done a couple things differently. It's a very popular event, so we've expanded Boo at the Zoo over two weekends. We have October 21st through 23rd, and then October 29th and 30th. We're requiring advance tickets, time tickets this year, which will enhance the experience a little bit, and it enables us to control the flow of people into the zoo with a nightly cap on attendance. So we're starting to sell out on a couple of those time blocks, so you'll want to get your tickets pretty soon. They're $11 for zoo members and $13 for the general public. And you can find out, you can get your tickets and find out all about the event online on our website.
And then there
at reedparkzoo.org.
And then there's a very popular kind of companion event that is more geared to the adults, and that's something called Spirits at the Zoo.
Yes, yes. So, you know, a visit to the zoo on any day is not only fun, you get to see the animals and be outdoors, but it's purposeful. And really, with this event, that conservation mission that we have comes to the forefront, as it does with everything that we do. But you can come and have enjoy an adult Halloween party, leave the kids at home, and it's for 21 and over. And all of the proceeds from Spirits at the Zoo, this is our second year to do it, will benefit our conservation programs that the zoo funds around the world. So you can enjoy costume contests. We have spooky cocktails. There's food for purchase. We have a DJ dance party and entertainment with Flam Chim and all kinds of wonderful things around the zoo. But the really great part of this is that every ticket that is sold is directly contributing to these projects, like the project that we fund in Tarangire. It's the Tarangire Elephant Project, and it has been very successful in opening up safe migration corridors to reduce elephant poaching. We have the Lion Recovery Fund that we support that is working to restore vanishing populations of lions, and also several programs in Central and South America, as well as the Malayan Tiger Project. So it's a great way to come out, have some fun, but also to do something really great for the planet and for in protecting wild animals and wild places.
Well, you and your team have been very busy with putting all of this together, the Boo at the Zoo and Spirits at the Zoo. And it is a lot of work, but it certainly pays off because you get a lot of people that are very happy. And they also learn, as you've been explaining, they learn about the zoo's mission, which really is to help protect wild animals and the wild places that they live. So the mission there and the fun kind of segue together, don't they, Deborah?
It really does. And I forgot to mention that Spirits, by the way, is on October 28th. So, and you can also learn about that on our website. But yes, it really, you know, we not only focus on conservation, but on conservation education, and it's inspiring people. And sometimes these events will bring people to the zoo that might otherwise not attend. But they come to the zoo, they learn about the animals, they fall in love with the animals, and they're inspired to join efforts to do a little something to help protect them.
The wonderful animals, the lemurs, who their native land is the island, the large, very large island of Madagascar, off of Africa. There's some beautiful lemurs over at the zoo.
Absolutely. They are, we have two types of lemurs at our zoo. We have the black and white ruff lemurs, and they are highly endangered. And we also have the ringtail lemurs.
Mm-hmm.
And they're small cat-sized primates. They're actually called prosimians. They're actually prosimians, which means before monkeys. So they're a form of primitive primate. They often draw a lot of attention. They have a mysterious nature about them and bright round eyes. And actually the word lemur is the Latin word for ghosts.
Oh, I did not know that.
Wow. Yeah, with their characters and their names, they're often referred to as the ghosts of the forest. They are found only on the island of Madagascar in the forest there. And there are about 100 species all total. And about a third of those are endangered. You'll often hear them if you're here in the late afternoon. You might hear almost kind of a spooky sound. They make a pretty vocal sound, which is very, it can be a little alarming sometimes, I think, but they have very unique vocalizations, and they're really facing, like all primates, declining numbers due to habitat destruction, hunting, illegal pet trading, and one of the reasons for the destruction of their habitats is palm oil. Now, palm oil is a cheap vegetable oil that you'll find in many products, from snacks to household cleaners to cosmetics, and of course, Halloween candy. So huge swaths of forests are cleared every day to harvest palm oil.
Mm.
And one of the things that, you know, we like to let people know about this Halloween is that you can help lemurs and other primates by simply purchasing Halloween candy that is made using sustainable palm oil. Now, what is that, you might ask? It's a palm oil that is produced with sustainable farming methods, such as not burning the ground to clear it. Unfortunately, a lot of the candy companies are now producing their products with sustainable palm oil, and it's easy to find. There is an app on our website that was developed by the Cheyenne Mountain Zoo, you can go there and you can simply, there's a barcode that you can kind of run it over your candy bag to see if it is made with sustainable palm oil. But really Hershey's, Mars, Cadbury, Ghirardelli, Brock's, all of them are producing their products with sustainable palm oil.
That's good news. All right. Quick update, Deborah Carr, the World of Play construction continuing, right?
It is. It is. We are expecting to be able to open World of Play in sometime around July of 2023. And this is going to be a great interactive nature play area for children. They're going to be able to slide down an Arctic tunnel and climb up in a towering sequoia tree and really meet nature hands-on to be able to learn about the continents and the wildlife that live there. And It's really great to see the progress that's going on. It looks quite different back there, and this is going to be inside the zoo, right across from our Conservation Learning Center.
How about the sloths? Are they going to have a new exhibit?
Yes, we have a new animal species coming to the zoo, and this will be opening also sometime late this spring, and it is a sloth. You might recognize sloths. They're those sweet faced little animals
yes.
that move incredibly slow. And so we will have a new habitat. It's going to be right behind where the gibbon is in our South American loop. And we are expecting to be able to start on construction for that habitat fairly soon. And will be another great reason to visit our South America area. We'll learn about the species and what makes them really unique.
And I know you had a great trip back east to meet with other zoo professionals. Did that make you come home and feel very even more thankful for working at the Reed Park Zoo?
Yes. You know, one of the things that really, I think, strikes me about our zoo is that you really see a lot of animals when you're here. Mm-hmm. We may not be the biggest zoo, but there are many animals to see, and some of the bigger animals that you might not expect to find in a mid-sized zoo like our zoo. And it was, you know, I think just how green and beautiful our zoo is, and especially right now, it really, I think, the great thing about this conference, too, is it really jazzes you up. You know, every day at the zoo is inspiring, and you just want to do all you can for animals and for the community. And coming back from a conference like this allows you to see what's going on in other zoos around the country and really further recharges the batteries. So,
well, I'm glad you went because you're a great asset to the Reed Park Zoo. Deborah Carr, Director of Marketing and Events. Thank you, Deborah. And again, for more information about everything we've talked about, pretty much everything, reedparkzoo.org. Thank you very much, Deborah.
Thank you, Bill.
Always a pleasure.
And have a great Halloween.
Thanks. You too. All right. We're going to take a break right here. We're going to keep the Halloween theme going here as we talk with our resident historian, Ken Scoville, about kind of the king of the Halloween, you might call it almost a Mardi Gras celebration that used to go on here. It was a really big deal. We'll learn about it from Ken after this.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Kate Delaney. Tune in later tonight as we talk about everything that happened throughout your day. Tonight at 10 on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. The Buckmaster Show, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It is the perfect time of year to get in the car, get in the truck, take a three-hour drive east of Tucson. Enjoy the Gila National Wilderness and all the autumn color. Great time of year to be over there doing hiking. For more on things to do and great places to stay, visit southwestnewmexico.org. Silver City, what a great... New Mexico is just a... Like Arizona, it's great, especially in mid-October. Can't beat it. All right, let's bring in our resident historian, Mr. Ken Scoville. Ken, how are you?
Well, I'm fine, and I'm sort of enjoying the cool weather. I'm sure I'm not the only person.
Yeah, we've been enjoying it. I'll tell you, the mornings and evenings are delightful. We just had some wonderful information about all the fun zoo activities at the Reed Park Zoo, the Halloween activities that they've got coming up. There's some activities, Nightmare on Congress Street at Hotel Congress. That's going to be Friday, October 28th at 7. Then there's going to be an event over at, this is Celebrating Ghosts of the Past at the Arizona History Museum. It's called A Night at the Museum. And that's going to be on Saturday, October 22nd at the Arizona History Museum over by campus. And
I think it's important for people to know that that's a real family event. This is the first year the Historical Society has done something like this. So this theme of a night at the museum sounds like a lot of fun, and I'm actually going to enter a pumpkin. I'm signed up for the pumpkin carving contest.
Oh, very cool. And that one is from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. So those are a couple of events. But now I want to turn to kind of Halloween past here in the Old Pueblo. I had no idea that for about a 10-year period, Tucson had this gigantic Halloween Mardi Gras, really from the mid-20s right up into the 1930s. A big deal, wasn't it, Ken?
Yes, and like everything else, everything happened first downtown.
Yeah.
And Dooley, his real name was Julius Bookman, but his big nickname was Dooley. He was a businessman on Stone Avenue. He had what was called the Varsity Shop, which was a sort of an interesting combination of a respectable pool hall, and I'll put that in quotations, and a tobacco shop.
Yeah.
And he, like I guess a lot of other businessmen, he wanted to do some promotion, but also I like to think it was a combination that he really liked children and wanted to see children have a good time, but also trick-or-treating sort of got evolved in the United States in the 1920s and 30s. And it sort of was an emphasis on tricks rather than treats at first.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that Julius was thinking about, let's get a good safe activity for the, just like we think of today, for the kids. So Stone Avenue between Congress and Pennington would be closed off, and it was a huge event, like you were saying, thousands of people dressed up, all kinds of activity.
Yeah, and this went on for about 10 years running. Stone Avenue became Dooley Street, and they barricaded things off at 6 p.m. between Congress and Pennington Streets. And then everybody was all dressed up, and this guy, this Dooley bookman, and I have no idea if he's related to the Bookman group here in Tucson, but whether he's a relative or not, you don't happen to know that, do you, Ken?
Well, I would sort of think not, but who knows? Tucson's a small town, yeah, as it always is. But he did a lot of preparation. He actually, and Bonnie Henry did a nice article. There's several good articles about Dooley, but he would hire kids to come in and put together packets of confetti. He had the kids sort of drop paper airplanes off what was the Consolidated National Bank, now the Valley National Bank, and I guess Bank One. But so this was a big major event. Kids would come up, the parents would come along, and it truly was a family event on Congress Street. And again, he had like six orchestras. You know, people sort of like to think Nightmare on Congress Street with the bands was sort of a big deal. But I have a feeling this was even a bigger deal.
Yeah, and this is Bonnie Henry. Thank you, Ken, for sending this old this clip from Bonnie when she wrote this piece about Dooley Bookman. I guess he was a former actor, theater manager, projectionist, and sound effects man. Bookman first popped up in Tucson around 1911, and then all this stuff started about 1925. And he would give all sorts of prizes. Like one of the prizes would be for the first person, he'd have, of course, his costume, but for the first person who could identify that he was the one in the costume. So, I mean,
he was pretty short. He was 5'2".
Yeah.
So he could probably blend in quite well. I mean, it's a real Tucson character type. And Roy Drachman, who wrote about him in his book, Roy's book, that he really said he was a Mr. Nice Guy, and not that you would think, and that was that era. Pool halls were not a place that you'd want your kids or adolescents to go to, but Drachman said he kept the place pretty straight. Kids were pretty safe at this pool hall in Tucson. So really one of the big personalities of Tucson in the 20s and early 30s until he got tragically sick and died at age 45.
Yeah, he died in February of 1935, and there was a huge funeral for this gentleman. And I guess they continued on with the Halloween parade. Again, it was like over on, I think they on Congress Street, but it just kind of, I guess, died out.
Right, moved on to Congress Street, and so probably up to, I would imagine, to the 1950s, the minute Tucson really started to grow and we started getting shopping centers, all the focus on downtown evolved out, and I'm sure this is when this event really died away.
And again, folks, Nightmare on Congress Street, that's at Hotel Congress, Friday, October 28th at 7.
And also Saturday. It's Friday and Saturday.
Oh, okay. Friday and Saturday. And you really like this event. You're going to be taking part in it, the one we were talking about a little earlier at the Arizona History Museum. This is a family event, a night at the museum. And this is from 5 to 9 p.m. Saturday, October. That's this Saturday. Saturday, October 22nd.
Yeah, this Saturday. And they're also going to have, I guess, turn out the lights in the museum and have sort of a ghost tour. They're going to look for paranormal.
Mm.
I don't know if any paranormal in the museum, possibly. But anyway, it sounds like a real fun event with a lot of opportunities for different ages.
Yeah, and good luck with your pumpkin carving. We'll see if you take home the first prize for that, the blue ribbon.
I imagine competition is going to be pretty good.
I bet. Ken, fun event that's coming up, and thanks so much for sharing with us about that information about this gentleman, Dooley Bookman, and all of his parade activity around Halloween. Really was fun to hear about that. Thank you, Ken.
Good. Thank you very much.
All right. We're going to wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show. As I like to say, we will get ready to do it again in 23 hours. But at next, CBS News, and then Dave Ramsey, The Ramsey Show, and on it will go on KVOI. Have a great afternoon, everybody.